Welcome to Talking to Tobins, where sisters Karen and Heather share stories of trials and tribulations on this life journey.
It's Heather and Karen Tobin, and this is our debut show of Talking to Tobin. Hello, Karen, my sister. Are you there?
I sure am. Yeah, I was like thinking how ominous that music starts, so we're going to, you know, keep it ominous
I
and
know.
Add some humor.
It's pretty ominous. I love it, exactly. That our debut music was very ominous.
Yes, it is like Heather it. And Karen Tobin.
Well, yeah. Well, we're okay. Talking about some ominous things.
We're talking about ominous things. I can't even say the word. We are two sisters. Actually, we have three sisters all together, but you are hearing from two sisters tonight. Our show, we really just hope to inspire you with stories of transformation and triumph over trials, about regrowth and rebirth, even if you're going through hell. And, you know, tonight my sister, Karen, will be interviewing me as I've had quite a crazy year. So, and also just as a caveat, there may be some triggering things, some sensitive topics. It's been a rather rough year. So just that little trigger warning alert. Without further ado, Karen, Sister Karen, you take over, girl.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, I think what we want to do is just try to inspire people who might be going through a hard time, because I think that one of the really common things with going through tough times is that you feel very alone. And sometimes it just helps to know that others are dealing with stuff, and that, you know, if you're feeling like everybody else is somehow doing it better, you're not necessarily right. And so we're going to talk about some of the stuff that, you know, I think, Heather, you're a perfect person to start with, because you've had an unbelievable year. If you couldn't write it. So I will go ahead and just say, kind of briefly introduce your year and you. So over the past year, you've moved twice. You've had to pack up your entire house and home after a very quick divorce process that sort of came at you by surprise. And figure out kind of your next steps, which basically, you know, ended up being coming down to be with me for 6 months, coming down from New England to the Mid-Atlantic with three cats, a toad, and a fish. And then after 6 months, that's a lot. But some good friends, too. You know, they helped you down here. We'll talk about that. But, and then making it back up to New England 6 months later, where you're now continuing the journey by fixing up an old farmhouse in a very rural area. You started this in the beginning of winter and kind of finding out that anything that can go wrong goes wrong. And that you're literally building from scratch. So I think it's a pretty inspiring story, because, you know, you're doing it. And I think I've had the honor of watching this and being part of it. And I know not only the perfect part myself, but, you know, I've seen this whole process unfold, and the fact that you keep going and you keep dealing, and every new challenge you just deal with, even when they make you feel like you don't want to get off the floor and do anything, you're doing it. And I think it's inspiring for people to hear that you are. So
Thank you, sister. You're very welcome.
So what I'll do is that, why don't we just start with kind of what happened, if you want to kind of give your sort of account of how it began.
Ah, yes. How it began. Well, I think like anything, it began with a shocking surprise of having my husband of 20 together, file for divorce on Halloween. My favorite. It was my favorite holiday. And so
keeping it scary.
Yeah. It was keeping it scary. You know, we had been getting along anyway, right? It was keeping it scary. we hadn't been getting along, you know, anyway. So it wasn't a surprise as far as that, the fact that we both probably after 18 years of marriage, I figure that's a good while to sort of determine. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not like we gave up instantly, we tried for 18 yeah. years and together 20. So, but he did file, and I was kind of, I think in my mind, I thought that, oh, no, we're just having another one of our horrible fights, and we won't get divorced. This won't really happen. But it did.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's really how it started, was just, whoa. What I also thought that we were going to file, perhaps maybe file jointly and just have a easy, mediated divorce, because we didn't have children. And I figured, okay, this is straightforward. I'm not just asking for a split down the middle of our assets and all of this stuff. And so quickly did that dream perish, and it became just this acrimonious, hellish marriage dissolution over literally, the next 4 months, which isn't a lot of time, because you think about it, being with someone for 2 decades,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden, right, in the space of 118 days from start to finish, okay, from start, having him file, having to return and get my own attorney, fighting acrimoniously over because he didn't want to go the normal route, that's fine, that's his, mm-hmm. but it was still rough, to having to empty the entire house.
Yeah.
And again, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, and just for the audience, for anyone listening, you were not in a great place physically or emotionally at the time either. This wasn't, an easy time to have something like this happen, because you'd been coming through a lot of, physical illnesses and recovering from that. Obviously some emotional stuff that goes with all this. So, definitely a worse timing type of situation, wouldn't you say?
The worst timing. I would joke. I joke, but I'm kind of, I wasn't joking. But when I said to him, I said, you picked this time to leave when I, physically, pretty ill with chronic illnesses. Thyroid disease was untreated for a while, and I need a hip replacement. And then a lot of issues with depression. We had had a really rough couple of years within the family. And so this was the worst time.
Right. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember, one of the questions, at what point, I think, did you make the decision to move down this way? You were sort of faced with, he wanted to sell the house. I mean, there wasn't going to be a discussion about keeping it. It's pretty adamant.
Right.
And you weren't necessarily in a position to keep it alone. That would have been difficult. So,
I couldn't.
Yeah.
Let me explain the circumstances. And again, I'm not trying to vilify. But I will say that, I think it's one of those things to say to people that, wow, boy, oh boy, you can get so caught off guard. The reason why I was in a very difficult position, because I kind of went sort of the traditional route as far as, it's kind of 1950s, like, where he controlled all of the money, and was the breadwinner. Okay, so as his career sort of took off, I've always been sort of bohemian, and I've had creative pursuits. I've always worked, but just not in a way that, again, compared to him climbing up the corporate ladder, I did not have that 20 years of solid background with a career and with earning potential. So this is why the divorce was really devastating. And so I found myself all of a sudden also, because I was the one that had probably the most stuff in the house. He left, So he filed on the, you know, 30 on Halloween. He left like 2 weeks later. And then I had to, I was kind of on my own in a house, sick physically and mentally, having to completely declutter an entire house, put it in storage, sort through things, have and sell as much as I possibly could, while also going through bitter disputes with him about just, I just wanted the standard, you know, split. We're fighting about that. And so basically it was just, I mean, it was just 4 months of hell. And here is the thing. Because I didn't have a, and this is a real caveat to a lot of people going through things, is that never take, it's one thing I regret. Never let anyone take your power away. And I allowed myself to be controlled. And I realize now that it put me in a real tough position. So really, the decision to come down and be with you, of course, I wanted to be with you because I was alone. In a picture, being alone in a house in the middle of winter, the power goes out. There's all these storms because it's New Hampshire. While I'm trying to clean up and get ready to move with my three cats, Toad and a Fish, down to you, because there's no way I could have afforded an apartment. I found myself that, and I was very rushed out of the house. The pace was decided for me. And thank God for you, Karen. You took me in, which was not easy. Thank God, because I don't know what I would have done. I would have had nowhere to go, honestly, because,
No, I mean, I just remember, I mean, I do remember, you know, just one of the situations was that when he went, he didn't tell you where he moved to. So you didn't know where he was or how far away he was. I mean, it sounds like a comedy, but you didn't know where he was living, and he'd already gotten the apartment.
He'd already planned it. Yeah, and again, the thing is, I had no idea where he was. He said he wasn't going to reveal where he was, and I didn't bother him with it, you know, but it was so weird after knowing where someone is for 20 years to all of a sudden have someone just sort of disappear. And, you know, if I needed help, like when the power went out and, or the cats were sick or something like that, when I was in the house alone, he was nearby. I guess he was like 45 minutes away, but I never knew where the hell he was. So it was so surreal that all of a sudden this man I knew for 20 years is like gone.
Yeah.
And to this day, I basically don't know where he is. I laugh, but at the same time, you can't believe how destabilizing it was for me to all of a sudden have the person that said, I will always be there for you. Not only, you know, okay, we're getting a divorce. I understand so many people get divorced, but I mean, this was just weird. And it's it just added to it. It's like, why? I mean, come on, man. It just got so crazy.
Well, I think, this isn't sort of a rant against him. It's more to set the tone for what happened. But the reason I ask and I want to point these things out is that, it's already such a disorienting thing to go through. You know, I went through, years earlier, different circumstances sort of and other things going on. Yeah. But the bottom line is, it's disorienting to begin with. This made it extra disorienting. And, there's a lot of toxic positivity. We talk about that, and I want to make a pretty, make it clear in this podcast that I am a firm believer in being positive and being accountable, but I think it's really important to identify when someone, when things happen to you that aren't great and you have to kind of figure out how to deal with them, and it's okay to say, this is what happened. I'm not making it up, and, he's not here to defend
this
what he did. But, just getting to this point where now suddenly you're in a place where, you are having to pack up quite a lot of stuff. You're doing it primarily
so
yourself. What did you do in the way of getting through that? I know you had to lean on some friends. So how did you start to reach out?
Well, and that's a thing, and it's a good point you're bringing. At first, too, and again, I had to hire people. And I can remember, I didn't have the I had no access to the bank account. He did. So yeah. I think he had to, the court said that, you know, he had to help me pay for some of this stuff. But I also ended up having to pay for it by selling things off. I started out by hiring some people, but I realized, too, that it was just so expensive. I had to ask for help. And I'll tell you, it's so hard, Karen, and to everyone listening, it's so hard to ask for help because I felt I was in shock and I felt ashamed. I felt bummed out. I felt so small. I felt so demoralized. But I was so amazed by, you know, I asked my close friends, you know, my dear friend Meg, and then it turned out that her, you know, her sister-in-law was a realtor and she was awesome. And so, and she ended up really being responsible for getting that house sold. And you know, getting us the best price for it. You know, it was reaching out to people because I started to shut down and people started to get really worried, because I wasn't answering the phone. I was depressed.
Of course.
And you know, I was so overwhelmed, as you know. I mean, we talk like every day. So
absolutely.
I had to, and what I found, you know, I found, Karen, that's something I think for all your listeners, is I found that people that love you, they want to help you. And, you know, I didn't want to burden people and exhaust them. And, you know, I didn't want to be like a vampire. But I found that, you know, people would tell me how much they could do comfortably to help me. And I'd say that. I'd say, please, you know, I'd have a friend come over for a couple of hours and help me with, you know, clearing stuff, putting stuff in storage, throwing it away, but being very sensitive to what they could do. Because they have lives. But, you know, I realized you have to ask for help and you have to say yes to it, which I've never been really that good at in my life. Maybe not really. And so, you know, you have to kind of bite the bullet and go, okay, you know what? I do need the help. And I need a lot of that, too. I need a lot of the female friend energy around me, too, you know, going through this divorce, because I've really struggled with feelings of just like no self-esteem, feeling like a complete failure and loser.
And it's, you know, it's incredibly hard. And then, of course, you know, the second phase of all this was coming down here. But even before, I mean, just to give people the sort of a sense, and you go through these things. I just remember, you know, the situation with the auction, it wasn't an auction, it was the sale of stuff from your house, and how you had to sort of set that up. But what you didn't anticipate was that people were going to go through your stuff and not like stay in the rooms they're supposed to stay in. And it's just like you go through so many things that you don't know how it's going to go. You think you're just going to have an open house and people are going to buy the things that are for sale and not go through your personal stuff. And, you know, that day was pretty harrowing for you.
That was harrowing. It was like the running of the bulls in Spain. I had posted, and the thing is too. I mean, I'm a licensed auctioneer, so I thought, oh, you know, I do estate sales. I've done auctions and things, but it's a big difference from doing an auction in a public space that's organized and everything else, as opposed to having people come to your house. And I am telling you, it was like bang, bang, bang. They're banging on the doors. And then they're furious because, you know, the sale only went, you know, till 1 p.m. on a Saturday. But after that, people banging on the doors. And they're banging on the doors all night. And I'm sitting here like a sitting duck alone in this house. And I'm like, oh, my God, what has happened to my life? You know, my ex used to be the protector. And there was no one there to protect me. And I just remember how vulnerable I felt with he's, you know, angry, bangs on the door. So I learned the hard way to ask for help so that the next time I hired a company to come and hold the estate sale and organize it. Because you know what? Even if this is my bread and butter type work, and when you're going through it yourself, you're just so screwed up. You're so shocked. It's like anything. It is so disorienting and it's so frightening. I have never felt so alone and so vulnerable in my life. You know, it's like, oh my God, help.
Yeah, I can't. And I don't think, you know, I think unless you've been there, I mean, it's just really hard to even, I think we almost forget how bad that feels sometimes. You know, maybe we have to.
We do.
Because it's just like, to be in it is so hard. Do you remember how you felt when you pulled away from the house, when you were packed up and heading here for that nine-hour drive, or however long it was?
Yeah, it was 8 hours,
8 hours.
Cats, just wonderful, you know. Again, I have three cats. And here's the other thing with change is that if you have pets, oh, it affects them so much.
Yeah.
You know, my kitties loved my ex-husband. I mean, he was their dad. And it was very hard for them. You know, I took custody of them because he was going to be traveling for work. And, you know, it was the best thing for them. But still, you know, by the time everything was packed up, I was so exhausted from packing and clearing the house. By the time that house was cleared, you know, in preparation to sell it, you know, it didn't feel like home anymore. All of the things, you know, I remember this. This probably made me cry the most. It was like less the things. It was all the flowers and orchids and my spider plants in this window that I had. And I remember when I gave away some of the plants I brought some down, my plants down there. I love them, you know, my plants and animals.
Yeah,
but looking at that bare bay window that I love so much, I was like, it's gone. It's like the life of this place and, you know, the spirit of home, the spirit of what this used to be is gone. So as much as I loved the house, it was a house. It wasn't a home anymore. And I knew that I was coming down to be with you. And for the audience and people listening, know that we, you know, we're three sisters. You know, three of us all together, but we're very close. So the thought of coming down to you in the middle of mid-Atlantic and being around my nieces, another thing I'll bring up, I had been so lonely and here's the other thing too, I'll bring this up too, is that, you know, his family, my in-laws, were living very close by. So when this all went down, I understand this, unfortunately, with bitter divorces, which I hate to say, this is what this was, it's bitter. That they take sides, you know, and so I lost contact with that side of the family that I had been so close to.
Yeah, I remember.
Since we were dating, they were like in the next town over and we'd go to, you know, brunch every Sunday, you know, try to go, you know, at least once a month to brunch. I mean, talking about a very close relationship that's just gone.
Yeah.
So I lost all the people I loved in that area. You know, it was all gone. He was gone. I didn't know where he lived anymore. And then even though they were only 6 miles, literally 6 miles down the road, it was very clear that there was going to be no getting together with him anymore. They made it clear, which was, ow, did that hurt? That hurt. But I understand, you know, it's their kid. Well, you know, it's not.
It's a tough one. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just sort of a natural, people take sides or they feel like they need to, you know, show loyalty. There's so many different reasons. And then some people don't, right? Some people, I know that you have contact with maybe a few of people, which is really good.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's one of the hardest parts of the whole
yeah.
thing. Yeah, the loss of that community.
You know, you've gone through it, you know, or, you know.
Absolutely.
It's part of it. And so, yes. And I was waiting that we also to not feel, you know, again, after 20 years, to all of a sudden not only be welcome, but, you know, to have a spouse in a fit of such fury and anger that it's like, oh, my gosh, I felt hated and despised. I felt like nothing. And I was so needing to just come down. Thank God you took me in.
No, I was happy to have you. And
my God, yeah, Karen, you're refuge of my family. That is the beginning. Yeah. By coming down there, is beginning to start. Even though I was still very bad off, as we'll talk about, at least I knew something. I knew that I was valuable, that I am your sister, and that I have value in a family that would never turn their back on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for the record, I know if it was possible to go to Mom and Dad's, I think you would have. I just think with the pets and certain things going on with them, it wasn't just a point that out really.
Exactly.
The best choice to come here, because they were wonderful and very supportive, you know, obviously.
Very, loving. Mom and Dad have always
and our
very
sister's
supportive.
Well, who lives further away, but, you know,
Mom and Dad are going through a lot with their own things, and, you know, Mom and Dad are incredible. You know, you took me in. Steffi would have taken me in. I mean, you guys are amazing. You know, I thank God for the family. Thank God.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have made it without you.
Well, then you poor thing, though. You come here, and it's not all sugar and roses. I mean, it's not funny, but, you know, it sort of ushers in the next phase of, you know, so you know that obviously I got some help from wonderful people in fixing this place up so that we could separate the cats, because between yours and mine, there would have been seven, and that would have been a bit much running around.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot.
Yes.
It would have been a lot.
Even with, you were so kind. I mean, you had, basically, Karen, you took me in, and you were, you know, unfortunately, too, because the divorce was really rushed. And again, that was something, you know, in retrospect, I think, had we had more time, but you were forced to create an entirely different little apartment, which is beautiful. But, you know, again, you had your family system, you know, you and your daughter, your kids. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a big change for all of you. And, you know, having four cats. And I'm coming down with my, you know, it was a lot for you to do.
It worked out. They stayed separated. And I knew that it was a little bit of a cramped space for your three cats. So I always felt badly about that. But everybody made it through. But just to point out to people, what you were talking about with the pets, I mean, some of the harder parts of when you settled here, I mean, you could talk about, I mean, one cat really didn't do so well, and she was getting sick a lot.
Foster.
Yeah, so.
She was, when, you know, and this again, this is how, you know, you realize, even though I didn't have children, okay, and it's not because I didn't want to, it just happened in my life that I didn't have children. You know, you get pet custody. These are sensitive, beautiful creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, they the amount of stress and, you know, that within a couple of days, I almost lost one of my cats because she was so stressed and so disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke my heart. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, going through divorce with children, you know, you just, your heart breaks when you see kids suffer, and you know, in my experience, of course, that and with animals, but yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. just oh my goodness, trying to get them acclimated and just, you know, sort of settling in. And again, I'm all creature of habit. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just going for that many years, all of a sudden, boom, into such a change. Thank Thank goodness for you. I mean, yeah. I mean, well, just, but you know, still, look, it's changed.
What I want to, you know, what I'm interested in is, as you look back on it, mm-hmm. those 6 months, what would you say were some of the, you know, maybe the, not mistakes, but maybe the things you just didn't calculate right? Like, what were some of the things that you were surprised by in your time here and just trying to deal with things? I mean, things like just getting out and about. I remember a couple incidents. I know you'll talk about them, the parking lot incident.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was not easy.
You know, this is the thing. They say, you know, that the top stressors, you know, they say death of a spouse, divorce, moving, you know, and then, you know, there's some people that say, you know, the divorce really is like a death, except the other person's still alive. It's just, you know, whether it was, you know, a mutual decision or not. The person sure. is still, and again, I'm not wishing that he not be alive. That's not what I'm saying. It's that, you know,
if there's no real, it's not a closure.
There's no closure because, like, this person's like, they've left you not because they died, but because they wanted to leave you, and that hurts. And that mm-hmm. hurts, you know, so coming down, I think I was having a massive identity crisis because, you know, the depression too really kicked in. I think I was in such survival mode in the months prior to coming down and seeing you. Like, you know, the mm-hmm. divorce is finalized, and then I, you know, 3 weeks later was down with you. So down there, I think it was, I think I was trying to hit the ground running. And so I applied for all these jobs, and I got them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did. And I'm like,
I remember
now. I got some jobs. And it's good. I was psyched, you know. They weren't great paying, but it was something. And, again, I hadn't really worked a lot consistently, you know, in the 20 years. So I needed to sort of. But the problem was I wasn't ready. My anxiety and my depression were crippling. I had a few, one example too. I mean, they say a few things. They say after divorce or some major upheaval, you can also, you know, that's when you're most likely to have like a car accident. And one of the stories I'll tell, and you know this, is that, you know, you found me a therapist and I went for my first appointment, you know, and I was like, oh, this is good. This is powerful. I'm going to go get help. And there was, on her property, there was this giant drain ditch that no one prior had ever driven their car into. Well, guess who drove her car into the ditch? It was me. And I drove it in so that the butt of the car was hanging up in the air. And then it's teetering, almost going to like roll. And I had to call 911 because I couldn't move. Because if I moved, the car was going to like roll. So I think you came out to like rescue me and stuff.
No,
and I think you saw the car was crazy.
Yep.
You know.
No, I remember the call.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah.
I couldn't.
The pictures were.
The way you described it, I wasn't sure if the car like totally flipped over, which was a bit terrifying. Like, okay, I'm trying to get my head around what was happening. And thank God it wasn't totally flipped over. But you were in a situation where it was teetering and you didn't want to move.
Teetering on you.
You're on the side where,
yeah,
it could teeter and actually injure you. So you had to wait.
Yeah.
I think like 40 minutes in that position.
I did.
You know.
And you
had me.
For the police to come.
Yep.
For the police to come. And
you had me call the therapist.
Yeah.
Remember, you had to call the therapist.
Her looking out.
Yeah, to let her know.
Out the window like, what the hell?
No, she was wonderful. I mean, her and her husband helped, but my God.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're wonderful.
I remember calling her and sort of like, yeah, I just want to let you know that Heather is in the ditch in front of your office and we're working on it, but just not to alarm you.
Right.
You know?
She's in the ditch.
You know, she's in the ditch out there.
First
my first therapy appointment for, you know, like to talk about the stress of the divorce. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in a ditch. And
it was, you showed her.
And I showed her. And she showed her
the stress.
So terrific to the, oh my God, I was so screwed up. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was that and just meltdowns. You know, I went to Marshall's, you know, in this very small, the parking lot is very small. But because I was so disoriented, remember, I went from a pretty, I call it country suburban, quiet place in New Hampshire to the mid-Atlantic area where it's very busy. And it's all of a sudden, I just felt like, boom, boom, everything's coming at me like, oh. And I forgot where I parked my car and there always seem to be car issues. I forgot where I parked my car, and I called you up hysterically crying, and you knew the parking lot. You're like, I think if you just kind of keep looking, your car's probably right there.
You should start on right one there. Side. Having done this myself in other persons, start on one side and find your way, you know,
find
up and
your
down.
Way.
Breathe.
Exactly. Breathe, and none of which I was not breathing. I was so
just wound up,
stressed out. I was hitting bottom, and the shock of I think by moving out of the house in New Hampshire, you know, the reality really set in when I was, you know, thank goodness I was with you guys, but it was the reality setting in, like, oh my God, I don't own a house anymore. I don't have my gardens anymore. I don't know who I am anymore. And even the marriage was really difficult, and it's difficult. And I, you know, own my part of it too. I can be impossible. We all can be. But I think, you know, even if it's a kind of abusive marriage, it's still, you identify. You know, you identify as a role in something, you know, that was part of, you know, something. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I don't know who I am. I'm totally unhinged.
Sure, and of course. And day-to-day tasks become sort of huge confusing and disorienting. And I think,
absolutely.
You know, watching it, I always was concerned. I didn't want to pressure you too much because I was trying to, you know, I think it's, again, so hard to understand just that feeling. You know, it's almost like you're just driving around in space, you know, and it's a wonder worse things didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, thank God I didn't hit somebody. You know, a ditch is fine. I mean, you know, I was okay.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I, you know, trigger warning, but I was suicidal. I had to, you know, you came in one day and I was like, basically fetal position on the floor. I couldn't even get up. Mm-hmm. Here I was trying to work and push myself to work. And I'm like, wait a minute.
No,
I can't even function. I can't even function. I don't, you know, as much as I loved all you guys, I just didn't want to be alive anymore. Part of that too is a very real biochemical clinical depression that of course kicked in. Of course it kicked in, which I live with it anyway. The stress is too much. And so I had to get help, which I did.
Which you did.
Help.
Yeah, I was just going to say that you got the help.
I did.
You know, and it seemed to definitely help to get you back to at least a place where it didn't feel so hopeless.
Exactly. I think if your biochemistry is fighting, if you're fighting just to biochemically be okay, have your brain chemistry work, and it's not, the most simple tasks are, you know, become, you know, Herculean labors. So though it didn't take, so, you know, doing in different treatments, though it didn't take away the reality of grieving, anger, fury, depression, shock, denial, all those Kubler-Ross things that you go through with tremendous change and loss, right? Like the Kubler-Ross
salad.
All
over the place. denial.
All of it.
Bargaining.
Yep. Bargaining, exactly. What it did allow me to do by getting treated was to calm down my brain and be able to say, okay, this is difficult. This is hard. I am feeling this way, as opposed to completely like collapsing, saying, oh my God, I can't even get out of bed. And it was more, you know, and then I started to formulate a plan. You know, I loved living down with you, and we had talked about some of our, you know, hilarious experiences and everything, right? But I think I knew, and I think this is one thing the ex didn't understand, was that I think what he wanted for me was to, when this divorce decree was issued, was that I think he assumed that I was just going to come down and live with you forever like some Jane Austen spinster.
Or Grey Gardens.
And that was... What's that?
Or Grey Gardens. One of those.
Grey Gardens. Anyone has seen exactly or Grey Gardens? It's hilarious. Or like, you know, the cat ladies. And right. That was going to be it. Sort of like that was the chapter. And it was sort of had him off the hook as far as, you know, that's why he's fighting alimony, because I think he just assumed that I would be down with you. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. No, this was a temporary thing because you have your life. You know, you have
right,
your
you,
space.
You also like New England, so, I mean, it wasn't like...
I do. I love New England. And I mean, as beautiful as the Mid-Atlantic, and it was gorgeous down there, and I loved it. I think, you know, the realization by being down there was, who am I? Who am I now that I'm not a wife, and I'm no longer a daughter-in-law or sister-in-law? Thank God I'm still an auntie on both sides.
Yeah,
I'm very happy about that. That's the most important to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some lovely people in this family do still stay in touch with me, and I'm so grateful. I understand it. For the ones that can't be, I get it. It's a hard thing in divorce, and I don't begrudge it. It hurts, but, you know, I understand
sure.
it. But, but I think, you know, the reality was like, okay, I have to... It was for me, I was thinking, you know what? For me, I have to make a change. And I have to find, I knew that I'd have to return to New England with very limited funds and find a place. I know that something will, in this, like, will continue the interview on, you know, the second sort of part of this coming up. But
yeah, absolutely.
it was always in my mind, too. You know, that I had to be sort of the master of my own house again, even though, God, I loved living there, but I knew for the animals, for me, you know, I needed
sure,
more
of
space.
Course. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
You needed your own space.
For, of course. Yeah. And also you just say, okay. And I know, I think also to prove to myself that I could, that here I was going to go, and I'm sort of setting up this journey for the, you know, thing,
yeah.
you know, for the next time we talk is going from literally not being able to get out of bed and just crying on the floor to deciding to do something that is courageous. And I really started reading up on what is courage. And it's like, you know what it is? It's feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. And I started thinking, all right, it's going to have to be me. I've got to stand on my own two feet here. And thus begin sort of the looking and searching for, you know, the months while I was down there, sort of training like, okay, how can I start again? What can I afford? How do I rebuild? How do I rebuild? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And even, you know, I sort of watched you through this whole process, annoyed you through parts of it, definitely the pain in the neck through parts.
No,
that they, we know that that's true, all right? We know it. Because I'm a difficult human myself.
Look, we're sis. We had fights. We had hilarious fights. I mean, we had some hilarious fights. And
but I can say, you know, just as your sister, I mean, look, I'm impressed every day, and I look forward. I know that I'm amazed how quickly this went. This must be how you know, our debut show, I guess it's a good thing when you feel like, wow, where did the time go? Because in these last few minutes, you know, I want to say that, I really look forward to talking to you next time about your move back up to New England. And,
it's crazy.
And it got crazy. Yeah. And we thought crazy was over. It was not.
It was everything could possibly go wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
As if the divorce was not hard enough and all this stuff. Everything that could possibly go wrong on a road trip and then the house itself, which is still going on.
Yeah.
Folks, just think of the movie Money Pit from the 1980s. It's gone wrong.
Under the Tuscan sun mixed with I don't know, psycho or
bad stuff. Under the Tuscan sun meets Money Pit. I mean, exactly. I remember one of my friends saying, oh, Heather, this is your Under the Tuscan Sun.
You're
going to this rural country house. Oh, how charming. How charming. And I'm like, oh, goodness. There was nothing Tuscan about it. And there was very little sun. Because it was just to move up.
Middle of winter.
It's like winter. It was horrible. And so just everything that could possibly go wrong on so many levels did and has. But you know what? I think it's one of the things, Karen, you and me, we're able to not laugh to hide it.
Yeah, no,
sort
just
of laugh.
Because it's funny.
We laugh to get through. And you know, you're such a comedian. And, you know, again, that was the beautiful part, laughing and connecting. And just that was always such a gift. You know, we were able to laugh. And we get that from mom and dad. And, we're going to be talking. I mean, we're going to be how this is going to go, everyone, is that Karen's interviewing me. I'm going to interview Karen because goodness knows she's had a very interesting decade. You're my hero. And then we're going to interview other people from all walks of life about going through things, you know, that are difficult.
That's right. Everything from, you know, having your health, you know, go out, losing everything, same kind of things, you know, people who've just had to rebuild after big, big, big traumatic changes and just the little things that get you through, you know, what makes you laugh through it, the parts that you take from it. I mean, I know we're halfway through your story, but like at this point, what's one of the big takeaways from this whole thing for you? You know, just as we wrap this session up, what would you say to people? I mean, one of the lessons.
The lesson, you know, is that, I'll tell you something. It can get, you know, it's very cliche, though. Not really. It's a dark night of soul thing. If you have the love of people, okay, and animals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're open to allowing yourself to be helped, then things do get better. They do. And it isn't like, oh, this is, I'm at the top of the mountain, everything's great.
No.
But it's, you know, what I'm learning is that it's about love. It all comes down to it. It takes a village to raise a kid. It takes a village to get through a difficult time, and don't be afraid to be vulnerable. It can be very hard to be vulnerable, but I found that by being vulnerable, oh my goodness, so many miracles open up as far as who you'll meet, who you connect with, and then one day you can return the favor when someone is going through hell and say, hey, I'm here for you, just like you've been here for me. As I get stronger, I can say, hey, I'm here for you.
Well, you know, and we'll talk about, you were very much there for me too. I mean, this wasn't one-sided, and we'll get into that later on, you know, but you also helped me quite a lot because things weren't so easy when you didn't get to walk into the most easy, simple situation either, you know, and that's life, right? I mean,
that's life, right?
That's life, but, you know, so you really helped
that's
me a
life.
Lot, too, and, you know, at the end of the day, I think we both, you know, we laugh about a lot of these things now and continue to because, yes, as you said, you know, you're in a whole new phase, and it's like the journey continues. It isn't over by any stretch. So.
It isn't. No. I was just thinking dealing with the army ants that are attacking the house, you know.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's always something. I think the thing is, though, by sharing the experience, It's not like we're not doing this. It's like, oh, poor me. It's a tale of woe. It's like, no. You know, even in your tale of woe, when things suck, when the people you thought you could rely on all of a sudden go away, you can go through hell, but you can also be propped up and supported by people and community. How important that is. Because you know what? Houses come and go. Money comes and goes. God knows. I know in the last year, my house came and went. My money is gone.
Don't worry.
It's all right.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, okay. And so now we rebuild, you know, and that's kind of the thing. But I know, you know, coming up, so next time too, I think, you know, coming up, we'll be interviewing each other some more. And we're very excited about all the wonderful guests that we have in, you know, the weeks and months to come. It's exciting, you know.
Yeah, in their own tales. So looking forward to a lot of fun talks and hopefully inspiring people to just get through and keep going, even when it feels like it's near impossible. Keep going.
Exactly. Keep on going. And also, too, in the future, we'll have our lines open too. We didn't tonight, but you know, we'll have phone lines open so people can call in, you know, if they've been experiencing things that have been difficult. So I mean, that will be, we're very excited, right? Aren't we? I mean, it's just
absolutely
great to work with, can't think of a thing, a higher a higher calling than to do a show with my own sister. Yay!
Yep, absolutely.
Good stuff. So I'm trying to think, is there anything else, my love?
I think at the same time, I think what we're doing is starting with a couple, or maybe one show that will repeat twice a month and then move into two shows for months, or every 2 weeks once we get a rhythm and sort of get set up. So people might be able to hear this again, and we'll, you know, we'll post stuff and we'll, you know, get people information as we have it, but we're just feeling our way through it. You're the one with the experience. I did not have a background in this.
Oh, please!
You're teaching
you
me.
Are too,
so, you know.
Nah, you're teaching me.
Mistakes will be
other,
made.
You know.
Yeah.
Mistakes will be made.
Mistakes will
you know,
be made. But that's
just,
okay.
You know, guys, don't worry. It's okay to make mistakes. Yes, absolutely. And what else was I going to say? Oh, yes. If anyone is interested in our books, if you go to Amazon and you Google, just type in Karen and Heather Tobin, see the books we have written, Just Bleeping Say No and Just Bleeping Let It Go. I mean, we are also authors, so you're able to buy our books where books are sold, and we love the support. You know, our goal is to be a support to you.
Yeah. Anyway, possible, but hopefully we'll give you some inspiring tales that will help you on the journey.
On the journey, and we'll keep you laughing, okay? You know.
Oh, yeah, there's always humor.
That's a thing.
That's inevitable,
no,
right?
It is. Actually, growing up in the family we did, and I mean that in the best of ways, is that there's sort of this irreverent humor that seems to be a thread throughout our existence. And I'm also very grateful for that, too. You know.
I mean, I'm laughing.
Being able to reflect.
jumping all over the desk and like in my face. I'm like, why is this cat in this right now? That's Buddy.
Which cat?
It's Buddy.
Oh my God, Buddy. Yes. Yes. We have so many animals. I am amazed that Jasper the puppy hasn't let out his, you know, monstrous yeti-like barks because of all of the insects that are starting to make themselves known, you know, as spring starts to unfold. I'm just, you know, but I'm sure the hound of hell will definitely release his howl during one of our recordings.
Oh my gosh, yeah, there'll be animals, so expect animal interference.
There will be, there'll be okay. Animals. Hope you're animal lovers out there because, you know, howling at the moon. Oh,
that's right.
You know, that's exactly it, you know, but no, we're just so grateful for you. And,
yeah,
we really are.
Until
next time, everybody, this is Heather and Karen Tobin, and you're talking to Tobins.
Good night.